Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio 94 WIP, Joe Giglio with you, Howard Eskin with us, 215-592-9494. Today's show delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. Howard, how are we doing tonight?
Well, I'm okay. A few thoughts have popped in my head in the last 30 to 45 seconds. I'm glad to hear that Jim Kenney said gun violence will not be tolerated because I was worried that it would be tolerated, obviously being sarcastic that he even said that. But on a real serious note, every day I think about, and you ask me how I am, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm okay, but I'm worried about people that aren't okay, and I think about them all the time. And I think about people that have lost their jobs. We have an app to kind of keep us happy and try to make us happy by listening to that. But I'm worried. I'm worried for those people. And, you know, when you think about the games, I have no idea when they're coming back. And that's because of the issue in the United States. Actually in the world, not just the United States. So how am I? I'm okay. I'm better than others, but I'm concerned for the others that aren't as good. So that's as honest as I can be.
Yeah, Howard, I feel the same way. It's a very strange time right now. And, you know, this thing that we're dealing with here is, and you said it, it's not just here, it's the world. It's something that, like, we don't know when it's going away. We don't really know how we're going to get rid of it. We just know we're trying to do the right thing and be the smartest possible with the doctors tell us. But the fact that there is no end date, the fact that there is no, like, we don't know. I mean, that might be the hardest thing, that none of us have any idea on how this timeline goes, because we don't really make the timeline on this.
No, and that's the, you know, scary is a word that we don't like to use, but that's the scary thing about what we're going through. It's too bad. I can't take listening to the news anymore and hearing about the count of deaths that go up in the United States and the count of deaths that go up in our area. But no, we don't have an end. And I get the question every day. You probably get the question. We get the question on WIP. When do you think it's going to start? I'm at the point, and I don't really want to believe this, and I don't believe it. I just hope. It's hope. I don't know that we're going to have a baseball season. That's how worried I am about what's going on, because we've got to make sure that people aren't infected. And if there's, let's say, out of 30,000 people that could be at a baseball game, if you have two of them, how many people do they run into?
Right.
And then you start it all over again. And I guess I would accept baseball without fans because baseball's still the start of the season. Basketball, I could care less whether they play a basketball game, and I can't accept that without fans because you need the energy of the fans. The fans, that's where they're really important. You need the energy of the fans during the game. And baseball, we just want to get it started, and it's got to be safe to do that. Because think about, and I started thinking about this. Well, if you don't have any fans, you'd say, all right, well, you don't have fans. But you still have 30 people in the dugout, probably 45 to 50 people in the clubhouse in a very small area, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
No, it's basically a mass gathering within a clubhouse.
Right, and that's why I worry about that. And you know, I've had text messages with some of the players, and they're hanging in there, and I get it. There's nothing else that we can do. But that's the part I think about. Can we really get it going? I've gotten to the point, and the question came up today, obviously, with the NFL. Do you think that the season will start on time? I worry about that, too.
I do, too. Yeah, now, yeah. Howard, and I feel the same way on this thing. And Howard, I've gotten to the point now just
– I hate to be a downer, Joe. That's, you know, but I'm trying to be honest about this. But I want to be excited when it does start. And, I want it like everybody else. I want everything to get rolling. But it can't get rolling right now,
no,
and it's going to be a time before it can get rolling.
So the one thing, as you said, that I've started to think about a lot the last couple of days and weeks, Howard, I can't envision, and I hope I'm dead wrong on this, I can't envision games with fans anytime soon. Like, we might get to a point where they find a way to test these players and make sure everyone in the league is clean going in, and then who knows, maybe for basketball and hockey they could have everyone in one city, one hotel, and they bang it out in a month and everyone kind of stays away from the rest of the world. But Howard, the idea of fans in stadiums anytime soon, it just doesn't seem possible. Like, how could we go from where we are now to where, like, you and I can't be within 6 feet of each other to 40,000 people at Citizens Bank Park? It just seems mind-boggling that we could get there in, you know, 4 or 5 months. I think they might be able to play and they might be able to figure out a way around it, but I don't think fans are coming back for a while.
No, Joe, one of the things that I thought about, when I go to most of the ball games.
Right.
And I go down in the stands, whether it's wherever it may be, and I say hello to people that I know and I say hello to other people. If there comes a time when, and it's going to be a safe time, when we go back, I don't think I'm going down in the stands for a while at a baseball game or at a basketball game or a hockey game, any game. I'm not going down in the stands for a while. If there's a football game, I'm not in the stands. I'm on the field. I'm close to the players. But obviously, as you said, I would think that they'd make sure that they've all tested and are not positive. But I'm not going down there. I'm happy to watch the games. I'd be excited to watch the games. But that's what I worry about. That I worry about that too. We all want the games. We all want to have fun, and we can watch games like Sunday, Joe. I watched the because I was there, the Villanova Georgetown game.
Yes,
it was probably of the greatest experiences of my life. And these are the things that I think about in the times that we're in. It was one of the top three. It was that, the 80 World Series with the Phillies, and the Super Bowl, and the 80 World Series over the 2008, because those guys, it was a different year and a different time, and the players were all your friends, so to speak. It was all one big happy family. And the Villanova thing, Rolly Massimino, and may he rest in peace, and he told me, and I found a picture where I have outside of the hotel that they were staying in, a Ramada Inn. Can you imagine a national championship team staying in a Ramada Inn? Anything wrong with a Ramada
Unbelievable.
Inn.
Unbelievable. You'd never think of that.
Well, there's a picture outside in front of the sign with the motorcycle cops that led the motorcade to the practices and all that, and they asked me to step in the picture. So, you know, I look back at that and remembered it, and I talked to, after the game, a bunch of the players who I still talk to from that Villanova team. And it was, I watched that, and the end of the game was still not as exciting, but exciting. The other thing I realized is how bad Georgetown cheats, and John Thompson cheats. What a bunch of cheaters they were. Oh, my God, it was disgraceful. Today, the officials wouldn't put, they begged, I don't know if you watched it, Joe. They had no timeouts left. Great job by John Thompson. And every time they made a basket, which didn't catch up, Villanova could hold the ball, and they could have held the ball without throwing it in on the last possession. Mm-hmm. But Georgetown, for the last three possessions that they scored a basket, the player punched the ball into the stands, so they had to stop the clock. Well, nowadays, the official would say, no, we're going
to
start the clock up
again. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what a bunch of John Thompson had to tell him to do that. But anyway, it was exciting to watch that. And I've watched some of the games, and some of them are exciting. I watched the MLB's playing a World Series game between the Red Sox and the Yankees, which went, I don't know how many innings, because I didn't see the end of it. But some of it was pretty cool to see some of those players again. But how much longer can we do that, Joe? How much longer are we going to accept that? Now, listening to the game at the beginning, and Cliff Lee was on his game, and Charlie Manuel screwed up that World Series, so that's why they didn't win it, in my opinion. That'll start something. But sometimes you listen to that and you say, wow, Chase Utley had a great game. And then I didn't realize, and I just actually had a text conversation with Jason Worth the other day, and I didn't even realize he had 5 home runs in that year of the playoffs.
Yeah, he was amazing. I think people forget how good Worth was in the postseason here. I mean, he was just a monster in the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah, he was. What a great – to let him go was one of their bigger mistakes because they just didn't want to pay him, and he got it from somewhere else. He was a guy that could take pitches and wasn't a bad hitter with 2 strikes. Well, now where guys are told to take pitches, and with 2 strikes, they're not good hitters. Jason Worth was comfortable with that.
He was.
And he would work a pitcher before this analytics garbage came in, and he did it just to work the pitcher a little bit. But, you know, so these kind of things excite you, but hopefully we can stay excited until it all comes back.
I agree. 215-592-9494. We'll get to some stuff going on right now, Howard, but you mentioned the game we just had on here. Cliff Lee, I feel, Howard, that a lot of people – They're one of their last memories of him, or like big game memories. Obviously, he didn't pitch very well and blew that lead in 2011, game 2 against the Cardinals. But I mean, the game we just had on here and before that, when he first got here, I mean, he was amazing as a Philly. When he was at his best, he was. I mean, that Yankee lineup in 2009. I looked it up today, Howard, but I looked at the box score before we played the game. They had 7 guys in that lineup that either are going to the Hall of Fame, or obviously a guy like A-Rod should be there. He won't go because of all the steroid stuff.
Yeah, because he's a cheater.
Yeah, and then they had a bunch of other guys that, not quite Hall of Famers, but really good, like Posada and Damon. And you had Cliff Lee go in there. I mean, 9 innings against a team that won 103 games, and I think that Yankee team scored like 900-something runs. And that's an amazing performance.
It is amazing, considering today – even if he was pitching well, the manager might not let him go 9 innings anyway.
You're right.
So, honestly, back then you didn't worry about it as much, but you knew he would probably have to pitch again. Why the hell did you let him go 9 innings? Well, that was the other thing with that. But whatever the case may be, when you look back, Cliff Lee was really, really, really a good pitcher with the Phillies. Really a good pitcher. And he wasn't a personable guy. I remember going in the locker room after games and talking to him. He really had not a whole lot of energy. He just did what he did. But he was a good, very good pitcher. And the fact that they traded him away and then they had to sign him back.
Yep. The next year, which I still never – and I remember Amaro Rubin explained it as they wanted to restock the farm system because they made the trade for Halliday and they gave up, you know, some prospects for Halliday. But, I mean, my goodness, they could have had them both for 10 and 11. Instead, they had that weird year in 10 where Cliff Lee was in Seattle and then he got traded to Texas, and he could have been here the whole time.
Yeah, it's he was really a good pitcher. But, you know, people remember – the way he left, and the way he left wasn't good because he got hurt.
Right, in 14, 13.
He got hurt, so it just he wasn't going to be the same pitcher. But he went off, and I don't think he even comes back for reunions. You know, I'm trying to think if I haven't seen him at any of the reunions.
What was last year? Last year was the 10-year anniversary of this 2009 team, right, last summer?
I think so,
and he wasn't there.
Yeah, sometimes players come back even when it's not their year, like this year, and I'm sure they'll schedule it. It's the whatever anniversary of the 80 World Series team. What's that, the 40-year anniversary?
40, 50. Yeah.
40 or 50. 40, yeah, 40. I lose track of time already. 40-year anniversary. And all those guys that are alive will be back. But even some other guys might come in because that weekend is alumni weekend. Cliff Lee, I do not remember Cliff Lee coming to any of the alumni weekends. That's just what he was, when he just goes off into the sunset and that's the end of him. And that's the way people remember him. That's part of the problem. But as far as a pitcher, he was a really good pitcher. But you're right. They'll remember that playoff game that he lost. First of all, the Cardinals should have never been in it. Charlie Manuel's ego wanted to be the have the most wins of any manager as a Philly.
I know. They let him in. They let the Cardinals
last
in.
Last weekend, they didn't have to win those games. And so they swept Atlanta. Like, really? Did you really have to do that? And then he lets the Cardinals in. So it's their own fault. See, I blamed Charlie Manuel twice.
You know what? I'm not surprised you did. The 11 thing, you're right. I mean, they opened the door to the Cardinals, and then the Cardinals yes. came in and knocked them out quickly. Yeah. And I'll say this for Cliff. He blew the 4-0 lead in Game 2. But the offense, they didn't hit enough in Game 3, 4, 5. Like, they could have won that series. They just didn't hit anymore. They got shut down.
Yeah, and that's you still have to score some runs, yeah. but you can't have the pitcher just win games for you all the time. And yeah, you're right. The Phillies have had those issues over the last few years. But Cliff Lee was a stud. Was a stud when he was here with the Phillies and before he got hurt.
Howard, when you look back on that team now, and not just 09, not just the game we had on tonight, but just in general, when you look back at that team, do you think about them more as what they should have been, like they should have got another one with that group, or do you remember 08 and you feel good about what it was? Because they had chances. They go back to the World Series in 09, 10 in the LCS, 11, like we just said, they had the most wins in baseball. They had a five-year run where they were in the playoffs every year, won the division every year, and they got one World Series out of it. You look back and say they should have had more?
Well, to answer that part of the question, absolutely. There's no way they should have had less than two World Series wins. With that team, and the core was still strong for a good part of those years.
And young,
years,
yeah, they were in their prime.
Yes, and there's no question that they should have had more. But in 2009 is when they pitched Pedro, right? So Pedro was throwing 84 miles an hour,
yes.
a guy that used. And why did you even put him out there? Why did Charlie Manuel even put him out there? And then when you realize he had nothing, nada, what are you doing? What are you doing? But that team was good enough to win more. And they cost them, you know, it was a combination of things. But when you get down to the big games, I think managers are irrelevant during the season. Although I think Joe Girardi is going to be a really good manager for the Phillies because he won't get caught up in all this other nonsense that the last manager got caught up
Speaking
in.
Speaking of, Howard, today's a special Gabe Kapler anniversary. You know what it is?
Oh, no. What is it?
2 years ago today, Howard, Gabe Kapler down in Atlanta in his first series.
Oh, with Aaron Nola?
No, not Aaron Nola. But today was the anniversary of when he went to the bullpen and nobody was warmed up. Remember that?
Yes.
That Gabe Kapler memory?
Yeah, right.
Now,
yeah.
But before we laugh any further, and it was funny, I have to defend him on this, that had to be some sort of, like, it had to be some sort of malfunction or game of telephone where they didn't get the message. Like, Gabe Kapler knew how to get a guy up in the bullpen. He did it a million times. There's no way, like, there had to be miscommunication there. Had to be.
Yeah, and I don't know what, because when you walk out, the one thing a manager will say, he'll look at his pitching coach, he says, is he good?
Right, yeah.
Is he good? You know, and did he not say that?
I don't know.
Did he not say, is he good? Because then the pitching coach would have said, is who good?
Right. We don't have anybody warmed up. I'll never forget the look on his face when he got out there and he realized nobody was warming up.
Oh, my God. There were so many different things. I remember, and I wish I could find the sound bite. And I don't know if we ever saved it. He got smoked. Milwaukee came in, and I think they scored 20-some runs in two games. It was ridiculous. And then he made some stupid-ass comment after the game. It's like, you know, he made so many of them, like it was no big deal. It's just, it was truly unbelievable.
Well,
it was truly unbelievable.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. Those comments, we had a lot of fun talking about them, and now they're gone now. They're out in San Francisco. No more games this year.
I'm a compassionate, competitive man.
There it is. All right, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Howard, the NFL moving forward full steam. I'm actually amazed. I'm not shocked, but I'm amazed that the NFL – they're the only sport here, and they're not affected right now because there's no games right now. But they're moving forward as if – really nothing's happening. I read today that they plan on their season being unaffected, and they might have to change that. We'll see.
Yes.
They had free agency. And now, Howard, I'm with Roger Goodell. I'm happy he's doing this. I'm happy he's pushing forward with the draft and basically telling these teams, look, figure it out. Do FaceTime, do phone calls, do video chats, do Zoom, get your meetings in that way. We're having the draft. I like that he's doing that.
Well, last week, and I think I mentioned it with you, but I know I mentioned it on Saturday, they are FaceTiming with people.
Right.
And one of the things, and I talked to a couple of people that do it, these general managers that complain they don't have enough time. The only thing, they can't work them out individually. Well, if you didn't see them during the season, shame on you. And didn't scout them well. That's shame on you. And you saw them at the combine. Now, there's other players you want to interview. But one of the things they do is they put up to see if there's a defensive player, to see what his reaction would be to a certain formation, and to run video with the chat to see how the players, and it's offensive players and defensive players, how they pick up certain situations. So they're getting, now they're not doing it face to face, but they're getting all the things that they need to understand, is this guy sharp enough? Or, you know, I worry about him. He's not picking up certain things when you show him the video. And they're doing all those things, and they had been doing them. So, because you were permitted to do that. This nonsense, what he's doing, having the draft go forward, it's something that is necessary. And to put out a schedule, after the draft, you'll know what the teams, and they'll probably Mickey Mouse around with the matchups in the national TV games when they see what the draft's like, but they pretty much know a lot of the things that are going to happen. And the schedule's going to come out in early May, and we got to move forward with that. And then you won't have, they'll obviously cancel some of the mini camps. They might push back training camp, all those things. But they can't say now that the season's not going to start. It's too far away. And you want to give people, at least we have hope for a football season. You want to give people that. But to have the draft, absolutely, positively, you've got to hold the draft.
You're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, live from the Tasty Cake Studios, 215-592-9494. Howard Eskin hanging out here. Howard, yeah, I'm glad it's going on. I'm glad it's going on as planned. And what you were mentioning there with they have the technology, you know, if this was 25, even 20 years ago, this would be really hard. I mean, I know that we had the internet 20 years ago and we had phones, but not like now. Like, the technology now is so good. Like, Howard, basically everything on TV we're watching right now, most people are at home. Like, I have NFL Network on here in the studio, and they're doing a studio show, and there's three panelists or whatever. It's like Billick and the host. And you can't even tell. Like, I mean, I see the background. I see a bookshelf behind them, and I know they're home. But it's so good now that you can do this stuff. Technology is to a point now where it's really not an excuse. Like, if the Eagles or whoever, any team has a bad draft pick, there's no excuse anymore. Like, you can get this stuff done. You can watch the film. Roger Goodell could have easily pushed this back, but I don't often agree with him. He made the right call on this. Like, figure it out, and let's have a draft.
Yeah, if we didn't have the technology, I don't know what they would do. They obviously couldn't do, all those things.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to do it. And I'm not tech savvy. I know how to operate my phone and do the things and Periscope and do those kind of things and FaceTime, but I just learned about Zoom on Sunday. I was watching CBS Sunday Morning, and there was a reporter talking about the reality of what is today. And with Zoom, you can do multiple people at the same time, and the quality is better than Skype, from what I understand. So that technology is really good, and you can do multiple people all at the same time. So that's great that they can do it. Yeah, I mean, if I had to go on TV for my house, it's not hard. But without that technology, you wonder about all those things that are going on. And it's a way to keep us sane, too. Because when you FaceTime and you do all the things, simple things like texting somebody. I mean, there's some people, Nick Leyva, who was a manager of the Phillies at one time.
Yeah, the early 90s, right?
Yeah, and he was a third base coach he was the third base coach when Joe Carter hit the home run that beat the Phillies in the World Series with Toronto. And he was a coach with the Pirates under Clint Hurdle. And now he works with their players in the Pittsburgh Pirate players in Arizona. So I just said hello to him. I hadn't talked to him in a while. and just said hello to him and just, hey, how you doing? And everything's great. And, you know, now they got he's got grandkids, you know, little things like, and there's many other people that I got to know over the years that you just stay in touch with. Without the technology, we kind of go nuts.
Oh, we would. Yeah, no, we would. We'd feel isolated. Now, I mean, now we're at home, but at least we feel like we could still be connected. The managers you just mentioned, I'm trying to remember, I was young then, but didn't he get fired like in April of a season?
I'm going to tell you the story, Joe. You may
91 maybe?
I forget the year. All right, Nick Lave is the manager. I'm in spring training, and I can't, and Jim Fregosi, may he rest in peace, he was a backstabber. So he was working for the Phillies, I guess minor league capacity, and he'd been a manager before that. And I was told by multiple people he was trying to get Nick Lave fired, and he wanted to be the manager. Well, I reported that. I was doing TV at the time, and I reported that. And, you know, it's a tough story to do.
Yeah, of course.
And you know you're going to, and it's in spring training, and I'm going to take a lot of crap. And sure enough, Fregosi, and before he passed away, we actually spoke to each other. He never did like me because I killed him when he was the manager anyway. That was another thing. Because he said things that he shouldn't have said, and it became a firestorm in Philadelphia. I have a little history with Jim Fregosi. But I think it was 16 games into the season. I was right. That's what he was trying to do. They fired Nick Lave 16 games into the season. I think the number was 16. 16 games into the season. Really gave him a shot. Why even do that? Why even let him go into the season?
Don't even bring him up from spring training if he's not going to make it through April. Like, that's crazy.
But Fregosi was behind that. He was pushing it, trying to, you know, backstab is probably the right word. And then as a manager, he was a terrible manager. You know, he never had, other than that Phillies team that went to the playoffs, he never had more than a 500 season in his managing career.
Yeah, even when he left here and he went to Toronto in the late 90s. Never.
Yeah, right. And, you know, he worked on getting rid of that guy, too. So, but it's not, he was, but I remember that. And I'm telling you, I thought he was going to pummel me to the ground. And I didn't care because it was, that story was correct. And sometimes, you know, people get mad at me for doing certain things, but that's one of the many things I won't forget. It was a story. What am I going to just let it go? And knowing he's trying to bury this guy and wants to be the manager, and sure enough, it happened.
Yeah, you got to say something. That it's ironic, Howard. You could bring this up to him next time you see him and baseball starts up again. But
he passed away.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm saying another guy. So I'm saying it's ironic that we're talking about a Phillies manager who was let go, you know, very early in the season, because Brian Price, the new pitching coach, when he was managing the Reds, I think it was 2 years ago, they fired him like 3 weeks into the season.
That's a joke. That's
so
ridiculous.
So it's happened even recently. So now that obviously he's the pitching coach of the Phillies, so you know he's got a job now. But he went through that whole thing. Like, that's crazy to fire a manager that early into a season. Even like that's like firing a coach in football after three games or two games.
I know. It was ridiculous. Just don't go into the season with him. And Nick got hired by Lee Thomas, who was the general manager who worked with Nick Lave in St. Louis. Now, whether Nick was the right guy or the wrong guy, and maybe it was too early in his baseball, his coaching or managing.
Right.
But nonetheless, you hired him, and you've got to give him a chance. But Fregosi, he lobbied hard, and he got his wish and became the manager. It was ridiculous. But anyway, he's just one of the guys. And there was nothing wrong with Nick. I don't know if he was a good manager, because we'll never find out, because he never had enough time to be able to do it. But regardless, there's situations like that. Boy, people just are quick to react with certain things. It doesn't happen with football, because you can't go out and get a guy, because everything, the offense may not be the same, the defense may not be the same. Well, who are you going to hire? Somebody that's worked under him? So it's all going to stay the same anyway. So what the hell's the difference?
Yeah, it is. That's a totally different way to do it. 215-592-9494. All right, Howard, let's hit on an Eagles rumor that came out yesterday. So Peter King of Monday or Football Morning in America.
Yeah, I like Peter.
I do too. And he wrote about how the Rams, who have a lot of salary cap issues out there, that they might be willing to shop Brandon Cooks, 26 years old. He's had a good career last year, and he's got concussion issues now. So last year was the first year in, I think, 4 or 5 years he was under 1,000 yards. I mean, he's been very good, very productive, played against the Eagles in that Super Bowl with the Patriots. He's probably available, Howard, and King threw out the idea of a second-round pick for him. I don't want to trade that much, but
no,
if he could be gotten for a, you know, he could be had for a mid-round pick, a fourth-round pick.
Fourth-round pick, I would do it
for. I would take a chance on him. He's only 26 years old.
Yeah, and the two concussions would concern me, but he's a really good receiver. But I think Peter King backed off on that a little bit later in the day, kind of, you know, updated the story a little bit more, and I don't think he thought it was as possible. But the Rams, this is the first year in their new stadium, right? Aren't they in a new stadium this year?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's being built right now. And
I know,
saw a story today
that
a couple of the construction workers have the virus. So, like, I don't know how that's going to change the – but, yes, they're moving into a new stadium.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, they want to try to keep some semblance of a team because they took the shot to sell the tickets, and that's why they got themselves in cap hell. And it didn't work. They got themselves to a Super Bowl, but they didn't win the Super Bowl because the quarterback wasn't good enough. But I would, and who knows whether they would trade him for just a fourth-round pick. I'm not sure that does him enough good because they have to show something this season. They really, I would think they do, whether they're in that stadium
look,
or
Howard,
not.
They don't have, I mean, they have the quarterback that signed, and they just traded for Jalen Ramsey. I can't imagine they're thinking about a rebuild. Like, they're trying to win.
Yes, and because especially with the new stadium. So for a fourth-round pick, I think they have two third-round – the Eagles have two third-round picks and a fourth – I don't want to give up those third-round picks because you're going to be able to really get some good players in the first three rounds because you traded your second, right? Didn't you trade your second for Slay?
No, it was a third and a fifth. They traded one of the thirds and a five.
Oh, so they have – okay. So instead of – I think they had three thirds – so now they have two. One is a compensatory pick, I believe. So, but I want those picks early. I would give up a four, but I wouldn't give up anything better than a four for Cooks. But, yeah, I would take him because it's assurance or insurance for the young guy that you absolutely are going to draft. They're going to get another wide receiver, not just in the draft, whether that's wide receiver or plural wide receivers. But they're going to get some. They're going to sign somebody else. If they get Brandon Cook, that saves them from waiting until they're close to camp. And who knows how it's going to play out? I don't think that front offices will think about, well, what if? They're not going to think about. They're going to proceed as normal, as if the season was going to start on time. But there'll be players that'll be available after the draft because teams will draft other players as well. But I would take Cooks, yes, for sure.
So you think they're going to get a veteran. I'm glad to hear that because, Howard, here's my worry, and I agree with you, they're going to draft a kid, whether it's the first round or the second round or one kid or two. They're going to take a receiver in the draft, and hopefully the kid can play. But here's the thing that has to be on the minds of these teams. I none of us know how this timeline's going to go and what the future of the football practice season will be. But we're looking at a year where you're probably going to have less – time for rookies to be in the facility than any year since the lockout year, you know, in 2011 when they didn't get in until August. So, like, maybe some of these kids will be fine, but there's a chance you draft someone. Let's just say the Eagles take a receiver in the first round. It might take him half the season to get his feet wet because he just missed so much time, so much practice time in the summer.
Here's another problem with adding on to that. Normally the quarterback, in this case Carson Wentz, and I know I've heard Tom Brady brings his receivers to Montana. What the hell are you going to Montana for?
Well, there's nothing to do there besides play catch.
That's as bad as going to North Dakota.
well, that's Carson where Carson's Wentz. Going.
I know, right. But normally he will take the players there. But in the times that we're in, well, number one, the players want to travel to go out there. And number two, are you really violating what are the guidelines in America when you have groups of guys together and Carson would work with them? Now, if you just bring one or two guys out, if that player is willing to come, that's one thing. But the other thing, and I just actually thought about this, I think Carson's first child is due sometime in August. I don't know that he would want to leave the area. So, and they're not allowed in the facility. So where's he going to go? You know, he would bring guys in, but where's he going to go? Is he going to go to a high school field, or are they allowed to use that with, let's say three guys? You can still socially distance with three or four players. And so will he do that? I don't know. That's the other, just to work with him and get a little bit of a feel for who they are. It's really, because some of those players aren't even going to, they're not going to be here anyway. So that's the other thing. And there's so many things to think about. But, yeah, if you get a veteran, and I personally think they will, just based on the history of what they do, I think they'll get a veteran to kind of maybe have a stopgap in case the young player is not quite ready yet.
Yeah, I think they need that. Otherwise, yeah, the offense could be choppy again to start next year. 215-592-9494. Howard, I don't know if you've been how much of social media been on today. Whether it's, you know, we know it's not social media, but
it's not social. It's not media. It's
a guy we've talked about a lot the last couple of weeks, Yannick Ngakoue from the Jaguars.
Yeah, he's playing games with people.
It's all he does. He put up another photo of a former Eagle today, and today's also his birthday. So he's just having fun out there. Howard, I don't know what's going on, if he's just fooling around with everyone, but it's like every week he's just kind of showing people former Eagles as if he thinks or wants to be here.
Well, he wants to go to a place he thinks he can win.
Agreed. But why is he not putting up Seahawks or Packers? Like, why is it keep being Eagles?
Well, maybe he doesn't want to go to Seattle. Seattle's a bad place right now.
Well, I mean, I understand.
When I say a bad place, their situation there, it's bad all over the country, but it's worse there. Maybe he just doesn't want to go out to Seattle. Maybe he just feels, and I don't know where he's from. I mean, where he sets up residence in the United States other than Jacksonville. I don't know if he's got another residence somewhere else. But maybe he just wants to play on the East Coast, and he wants to play with a team has a chance to win. And
he played college football at Maryland, and he's from D.C., so probably somewhere around there.
Okay, so it makes it, well, it's obviously very close to where home is for him. So that doesn't shock me at all. I'm not giving up a first-round pick for him. I know he's a first-round talent, and he's 25, but right off the bat, he's going to have to get a lot of money. Right off the bat. And I still wonder about how much money you can put into that defensive line. You got to have money for some other areas too, especially with Carson Wentz's number going up a lot next week. But yeah, I think he's playing game. I think he's playing game. Does he want to come here? Sure. That doesn't mean he's going to come here. I like these guys, and I think he wrote something. He wants to make sure he takes care of his family.
Yes, they all want to take care of their family.
They all want to take care of the family. Well, what's he making now? Joe, you probably know the number. It's probably a pretty good number.
Yeah, I look it up. And guess what? No matter, well, I think he got the franchise tender. So what is that for a defensive end? 15, okay. 16 million?
It's probably 17 or 18 million. So yeah, somewhere in there. So you can't take care of your family with that? If you never made another penny in your life, you could take care of your family with that. I love these guys. I want to take care of the family. What's that supposed to make it right? And this is the
19.3 million for this coming year. 19.3.
Can't take care.
He's got to feed his kids, Howard.
It's like T.O. It's like Terrell Owens saying when he, after 1 year of signing the contract, he wanted a new contract because he wants to take care of his family. So I don't know if I told you this. I conducted a canned food drive for him, and he really got pissed.
You were trying to help him feed his family.
That's right. He wanted to feed his. That's what he said. He wanted to feed his family. But these guys in the situation in this country that we're in now, to use that line that I want to take care of my family. Are you kidding me? You're going to make over $19 million this year. And wherever you go and whatever you do, and even if it's with Jacksonville, you're going to make more money each year. Even if they franchise him for 2 years, let's say they can't trade him. That's $36 million for 2 years. He's pretty much guaranteed $36 million for 2 years. I'm blown away by these guys that say they want to take care of their family. But I think he's playing games, and he wants to come here because it's in his locale where he wants to go. So, but you need two to tango. I don't know that they're going to give up. And I think Jacksonville is going to demand a first-round pick. Didn't they get, for Ramsey, didn't they get a first-rounder from?
They did, from the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to want a first-rounder. And they're going to sit and wait until, and somebody will give up a first-rounder.
Well, when you have a defensive end that can get after the quarterback like him, yeah, I agree, yes. Someone will pay it. All right, Howard, last thing we could hit on tonight. So I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days because baseball froze transactions and everything's kind of frozen for at least for the time being. Howard, and some of this is the Phillies' fault because I think they could have done it before. Some of it is obviously not their fault now because of what is going on. But, Howard, if I'm JT Realmuto's agent and this thing extends, let's say, a couple months, maybe further, maybe we don't have a season. Like, if I'm him, Howard, I'm not signing a contract extension from the Phillies because part of the reason I'd sign it now is, well, I don't want to get hurt. You know, I'll get my money now before the year. Howard, if we get to July and they haven't played yet, all he has to do is wait 3 months or whenever, 3-4 months, and all of baseball can bid on him instead of just the Phillies. I'm starting to think he's going to end up in free agency because of all this.
I think there's a great chance that he does not sign a contract this year and he becomes a free agent. Look at the number. He's going to have to get over $20 million for 5 years.
Yes.
It's that simple. And obviously, they didn't want to give him that. They wanted to play this little game, and now they're going to have to play the game and see what – there's always one team. And especially this year, there won't be a lot of wear and tear on them. Because let's say they play, for sake of argument, 110 games. I'm just using that for – I don't know how many games they're going to play.
He would play, what, 80 of those as a catcher?
Yeah, right. He'd probably play 80 of those because there'll be doubleheaders
right.
whenever – and he's not going to play in both ends of the doubleheader. So he's not going to do what Gabe – you see where Gabe – played Buster Posey in both ends of a day-night doubleheader in like a B-squad game.
Yeah, I can't imagine he caught him in both. Maybe he hit him in both. That was strange, though. I did see that. And Posey's an older catcher now.
I know. My thoughts got, you know, I went off my main thought thinking about Gabe. Can't get him off my mind. But he will be healthy going into the next year. I don't think there's any question he's going to test free agency.
It's not good. It's not good for the Phillies.
And there will be somebody who's going to offer a lot more money, somebody that just really needs a catcher. Catching is not – it's not easy to find a catcher in baseball.
No, it's not.
Okay, and by freezing all those things, what they did is they prevented teams from sending players down to save money. I think that's you had to do it before opening day. Otherwise, you got to pay the guy at a major league level.
Right.
So I think they preventing teams from just – sending players down. The other thing is Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Oh yeah,
I guess just
what a disaster.
I think we talked about it, Joe. I mentioned it last year, the end of last year, that not the Phillies doctors, but other doctors had told me that, and somebody did tell me that they had the discussion with Sir Anthony, and the player makes his own choice, and he didn't want to do it, and that's his option. But doctors told me he should have had it last year. And then he would have been back. I mean, this won't even be a full season. And then he'd be back next year. Now, he's not even going to be back at the beginning of next year.
Howard, we're looking at 2.5 to 3 years he basically ruins. I mean, I'm not blaming him. It's an injury. But, like, last year was wiped out. This year could be wiped out. And if he has a surgery in midsummer, next year is going to be wiped out.
Yeah, there was no way he was not going to. This is the way it was explained to me. You have to have that surgery at some point. So it's a time bomb, and he should not have waited last year. He should have had it done. And you hope that you're going to be it's going to heal, but that injury does not. And that's another problem. So, but let's play the season first. But yeah, Realmuto is going to be a real. They don't have a catcher. I don't think they have a catcher in their system.
No, not one that is ready to play. You know, at a full-time
they don't have much
level.
In their system. No, put it that way.
Well, that's the truth. All right, Howard. We'll talk again on Thursday. Have a good night.
All right, Joe. You take care, and to everybody out there, follow the guidelines and be the most important thing. Be safe, and I feel for all of you people that have lost their jobs because. I really feel for you, and I wish everybody the best that's not in the best situation.
Well said, Howard. We'll talk to you soon on Thursday. We'll back your phone calls, 215-592-9494 and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.